Welcome back to another episode of the Wizzo Report, where we bring you news, reviews, clues and advice. I'm your host, Corey. Today, we're going to talk about a heartbreaking story of a single-family home that was being built in the city limits of Brooklyn, New York. And it was just a very tragic situation. Before we dig into what happened, my heart goes out, our hearts go out to the family.
Absolutely.
The families of the young man who passed away on this construction site. And it was a situation that just should not have happened.
At all.
It's very disheartening when you have a contractor or even the client, the homeowner, who decide they want to build something and then circumvent the process. I mean, the building department is there not to be a jerk, but they're there to be, you know, there for our safety. They're there to make sure that what we're doing from a construction perspective is done to code. In each municipality, the codes are different. And they're there to make sure that you're doing everything correctly and safely, and that you're building a structure that is not going to be, a death trap.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel like the building department is there to make sure that the county can collect on taxes, but you're right. It's bigger than that. It's to make sure that things are safe.
It's
and
so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
They do collect revenue from it. But honestly, you know, if you're doing things the right way, you don't have anything to hide. We built multiple structures. We've done multiple renovation projects. And the first step in anything that you're doing, I mean, outside of just doing cosmetic upgrades, such as painting or doing, you know, just changing out a door or some hardware, those things you don't need permits for. But if you're building a ground up structure from the ground up, you're going to need a permit and you're going to need the building department to be involved. Sadly, with this situation, they started building this thing and the building department got wind of it. And then told them, and then they placed a stop work order on the entire project, and they did not listen.
Yeah. Yeah. So if the building department comes through and tells you that, okay, you just need to stop until some things are rectified, it's because there is a safety concern. There is a violation of some type of building code, or just some type of code has been violated that is a threat to life and safety. And it just should not be ignored at all. This right here should have never happened at all.
And he walked into this first level of the structure, and the flooring gave way. The first floor gave way, and the debris fell on top of him, which ended up killing him. Just a very sad situation. I mean, we've been on multiple projects where we've gotten stop work orders, and it could be for multiple reasons. It could be the license of one of the subcontractors expired, or they couldn't check it out, or somebody didn't have something posted like they were supposed to. Sometimes it's minor things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's an administrative issue where something wasn't submitted timely. But whatever it is, you gotta at least follow up with the building department, stop what you're doing, check in with them so that you're doing things safely and correctly.
You'll definitely know when you're about to get a stop work order. They'll go to their car or truck and they'll pull out this bright orange piece of paper that says stop work on it.
Yeah.
Stop work and place it right at the main entrance of the structure, whether the tree or pole, the entrance to that project is where they're going to post it. So you won't miss it. You'll definitely know about the stop work order. I recall a time that I received a stop work order on a project, and I really didn't know what he was about to say was the problem after he, you know, walked around the property, but it was as simple as the silt fence was not, you know, dug into the ground.
Yeah.
So it had nothing to do with the framing. It was a two-story structure. It had nothing to do with the MEP or anything like that. It was literally the silt fence that prevents rain runoff from the project from getting into the local drain. So I'm like, gosh, that's easy. You know, so call the landscaper over to install it properly and, resume work after that. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I received a stop work order is because we didn't apply for a permit. And it really was because it was more cosmetic in nature on the work that we were doing. But at the last minute, the client decided that they wanted to start changing out some electrical fixtures. And I'm not going to say which client or what type of project this was. But at any rate, someone within this structure decided they were going to contact the fire marshal about something else. He showed up and saw that there was work going on inside of the structure and said, hey, what y'all doing? And decided to go walking around and then was like, there's a problem. Where's your permit? We didn't apply for a permit.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to stop your work because you did not apply for a permit. So there are certain things you need to know that, you know, what you need to be applying for, and make sure you have your permit placed clearly for any building official to see. Yep. And if you didn't apply for a permit like you were supposed to, it's best that everybody be on the same page. And everyone within our group was. The client was the one that gave the directive not to file for a permit because it really didn't need it. But they made a last minute change, decided to fly under the radar, got caught. The whole project got shut down until we actually, and then now you're paying a fine because now you're being reactive instead of proactive with your permitting, and they are going to penalize you for it. So what could have cost maybe $1,000 for a permit now costs them almost $3,000 because they're like, we're going to get you because you're now asking for forgiveness instead of permission.
I mean, there's a lot of renovations that don't require a permit at all. So yeah, I can see how things could change along the way and you're just like, oh, well, now it's a little too late.
And the thing is, you just never know. The thing that really happened was, you know, one of the guys ended up pissing the fire marshal off. And, you know, and he was like, these are not the guys you want to piss off. You know, if they ask you to do something, do it. Take it up with them later. Don't fight with them. But they are going to start looking for things that they can get you on. And that's exactly what happened. He was like, oh, so you want to be a jerk today? Let me show you what a jerk does. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go walk around and let's see if what's in compliance and what's not. And he just happened to walk on an active construction site.
Yeah.
So got to be very, very careful. Follow the rules.
Yeah.
Stop if you're going to be changing the scope. Get the proper permits so that people's lives are not in danger.
Yeah,
especially when there are people that are going to be staying there.
I want to talk a little bit more about permits for residential renovations.
Okay.
Because it's a gamble sometimes. You know, people want to make the decision, you know, I just want this renovation done to my house so that I can enjoy this space. I don't want my taxes to increase.
Yep.
You know, so I don't want to permit the structure.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a decision that you really have to think out, you know, through and through.
You know,
I would always recommend to get a permit. They're just protections that it gives you, especially if you're not used to doing renovations, you're not used to working with contractors. It's just a protection to make sure that they're giving you something that's, you know, up to code.
I'm from Miami, Florida, and we have seen so many people. They know that the building department shuts down at 5 p.m. on Friday. I'm going to build this addition starting Friday at 6 p.m.
Really?
Through Sunday, and then I'm going to make sure it doesn't look like anything actually happened. And then if someone starts driving around come Monday morning, they won't see that any active construction is going on. More additions have happened on the downtime or when, you know, building departments are actually closed because they feel like, oh, I'm going to fly under the radar. The problem with that is that you have nosy neighbors and if you're trying to fly under the radar and you don't want to get caught, your neighbor next door or down the street, word travels fast. Mm-hmm. And people are going to tell on you. They're going to take photos of what's going on. They're going to report you to code enforcement. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to have to go to court. You're going to have to talk about this stuff. And it's a headache that you just don't want to have to deal
with. It's worth it just to get it done correctly and on the front end than the back end.
But let's talk about what happens on the back end, because just say you are successful with flying under the radar, and then one day you decide you want to sell the structure.
Oh, well,
and then you've added on 500 to 1,000 square feet to that house, and the county doesn't have any record of what you've done, and now you want to sell it. Now you can't report that square footage as actual square footage on that home, and then you could still get reported because the buyer may decide, oh, I'm going to go run to the building department and say, ooh, look at what you did.
Well, at the end of the day, when you're adding to your home, most cases is an appreciating asset.
Right.
So if you do all these renovations to the home, you want it to increase the value of the home. But like you said, if it's not permitted, then you cannot add that value.
No.
You know, someone else may try and buy it, and their lender is only going to allow them financing on what the county says the structure is. So if you have this whole nother wing that was never permitted, they won't even be able to get financing on that part.
But it also could be a major deal breaker for a sale of a home.
Yeah.
Because if they find out that you did it without getting it permitted, then some families who have, you know, who think correctly and use common sense, like, I don't want my family staying in a structure that hasn't been, you know, permitted and inspected the correct way. You didn't get your certificate of occupancy. So I don't know if this damn thing is going to fall down on
us
while we sleeping in it. Why would I want to take that chance?
Yeah.
Some people do because they
a lot of people,
and they do without knowing.
Yeah.
But it's just always good to just follow the law, do the right thing. So we don't have situations where this guy ends up losing his life. And that's the worst thing that could ever happen.
And it could be the contractor or the homeowner, you know?
Correct.
It's just, correct. Yeah.
So, speaking of residential add-on, so just to give you a backstory, being from Haiti and all, the minute you get your property, you can do whatever you want with it. You can literally have a nightclub and nobody can tell you nothing. So my father had this idea about turning the basement into an apartment to where he can just rent this out. Like, he's gonna build it this way. Would that be something that he would need a permit to do? And does he have to talk to the HOA to see if it's even allowed to have a renter or Airbnb and doing something like this?
I can't speak on Haiti, but in the States, yes. For sure. Sound like y'all like to party out in Haiti.
Oh, yeah, we do. So he would need not only a permit to do those constructions, but also a permit, like, or the okay to actually have guests as rentals on there.
Well, I know when you speak with on an HOA, a lot of times they have a threshold that can be met as far as the amount of the property that can be rented out. Right.
Yeah. And then they also, now HOAs have gotten very strict with actually spelling out specific language in their bylaws that say that you cannot do short-term rentals. So if you violate that, then now you can deal with an HOA placing a lien against your property. If you violate what they're asking you to do, then you've also not spoken with the municipality to get approval. So it's best to dot all the I's and cross all your T's.
It review the documentation for that jurisdiction. You know, that's.
And your HOA if you're in the
HOA.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Nice. Well, again, if there are more questions, you can leave a comment on the video after you like and subscribe.
Thanks so much for watching. We appreciate it.
All right.